TV. I don't like sports, they're not for me. I don't like to party, I don't like to sleep. Having a good time is not my cup of tea. No, I don't care for much at all, but there is one thing that I'm all for.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and it is a brand new year, 2016, and what a fucking shit show it has been so far. My good lord. Well, let's, a couple of points of business first. This isn't the first episode I've tried to record over the last couple of weeks, and as you can probably hear in the background, it is raining like a motherfucker. The skies have opened up this week and they have just not let up. But you know, that's what it is, and that's where we are. So what can you do? So what I'm going to do, I think, is I'm going to actually cut in with the first, salvageable bits of, the last episode. And then, cause I've got a special treat on that episode. I didn't want to completely shit can it as it was. But before I do that, a couple points, I've recently moved. So, you know, that and Christmas and New Year's and everything else is once again part of the reason why it's been 2 fucking months since I've recorded an actual episode of the podcast for you lovely ladies and gentlemen. And this year I've made it my mission to do more with the website. I'm going to start writing a bit more again, and I'm also going to launch the podcast that I keep fucking talking about, which is my Bearded Bookworm podcast, I think I'm going to call it. But without much further ado, here is what I've lovingly called the shit show episode. G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and finally I am back in the studio after one hell of a busy Christmas period. Look, we've got a pretty decent show, and I've got a very special treat which I'll introduce in just a second. That was Fame by David Bowie, just as a little tribute to the King of Strange himself. But I suppose it's time to introduce our special guest. That's right, this week joining us back in this, well, via telephonic device, at least, for the first time in a very, very long time, it's Mr. J.D. Hey, bro, long time no speaking. What's been going on?
I know, right? Sweet fuck all.
Been a long time since you've been anywhere near the fucking podcast. It's been good. How was your Christmas?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I overspent it by like a fucking mile, as usual.
Always do, eh? It's a fucking killer. We moved again.
Yeah, I heard.
I'm fucking sick of moving, bud. I'm fucking over it.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be moving again in August.
Oh, dude, if we still do the rage quits, I've got a perfect one about fucking real estate. I know that bloody much.
Oh, don't even get me started on real estate.
Oh, fucking assholes. Fucking.
Oh, yeah, you can lease this place. We're not going to tell you that it's sold, but we'll lease it anyway.
Fuckwits.
It's like a fuckwit that was in charge of our old house.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're still living the good country life out of town. I got an even better view now, which I'm fucking quite happy with.
Yeah, nice.
And I've got a fucking long-term lease, which is even fucking better, like a long-term lease, which is great.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
At least you know you're not going anywhere for a while.
Oh, yeah, at least fucking 12 months. Fucking longer, even, as long as we don't, like, piss the friggin' owners off too much.
Too much.
Yeah. Aye. Fuck, man, it has been a long time since I've recorded an episode, and even fucking longer since we've sat down and had a catch-up on mic, at least. Man, what's been going on in the fucking world of JD?
You know, work, fucking work and work.
Work.
Basically all I do.
Yeah. You've also started a new venture that you might like to tell our listeners about.
Oh, I think I mentioned this not long ago on the podcast, but, yeah, I've been drawing a lot, and I'm hoping to get into fucking graphic design this year.
Yeah, nice.
So, if all pans out, I'll be doing a diploma of graphic design.
A diploma of graphic design.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I can find you on the Instagrams. What's your new handle? Because you changed your handle as well, just recently as well.
Yeah, I did. It's at sketchmonster, or sketch_monster. But make sure you take all the vowels out of it.
Yeah, because you're either Jewish or Egyptian, one of the two.
Because I'm an asshole. So it's SKTCH_MNSTR.
Excellent. Some mighty fine artwork that you'll find there.
Yeah.
I thought we'd start off this episode just quickly touching upon a couple of losses in the entertainment industry because, damn, it was upsetting. Fucking... First of all...
Yeah, straight off the fucking bat, 2016. What the fuck?
Yeah, you're telling me, man. We lost fucking David Bowie first at the age of 69, man. Now, look, I got to admit, I was never growing up the hugest fan of Bowie. I always found him a little bit too strange, his music just a little bit too off fucking kilter for my liking. But in the last year or two, I've really come to appreciate, if not all of his music, at least some of it. And... just in general, fucking who he is, and especially as a bastion for those who are a little bit left of centre, you may say.
Well, I was just about to say that his music's always been a little bit left of the fucking field for me, so I never really got into it.
Yeah, but I mean, there is some surprising classics in there, and like talk about Creepy Man, right? Like he hasn't really done anything since about 2005, so the last 10 years or so. And
I think his last decent movie was 06, which was The Prestige, I think.
Yeah, 06 he did The Prestige, and in 05 he did his last tour.
06 I think he did voice for in the Arthur and the Invisibles as well.
Yes, that's right. He was, what's his name? The friggin' head bad dude.
Yeah.
Balazar or... that's embarrassing. Got my dad card in.
that's going somewhat back some ways.
Yeah. But, and then just 2 days before he died, he not only released a brand new album that has since been his, most successful album, at least as far as the charts financially goes,
how ironic.
He also released a very, very creepy, in hindsight, fucking single, Black Star. So I think he knew he was on the way out, and in just a pure fucking last little fucking example of how much of a showman he was, the Thin White Duke just left all of us holding our fucking jaws open going, what? And then nary a fucking week later, man, fucking Alan Rickman fucking goes.
At the same fucking age.
At 69, also a fucking cancer.
Yeah.
Now, Alan Rickman, of course, everybody of a certain age will know him as, of course, Professor Snape. But also he was just a pure fucking legend on the stage in particular and screen as well. I mean, Hans Gruber fucking,
Die Hard.
Hans Gruber had a Die Hard.
That was his fucking breakthrough into the film.
Yeah, film scene. And then he followed
and
that
he was
up.
Like fucking, he was somewhere between 30 and 40 at that time as well.
Yeah, by the time he hit mainstream success, he was rather late in his career. I think it was early 40s, late 30s, something like that. Of course, then he went on to do... you look at his IMDb page, you'll be reading for fucking hours, but some of his more notable roles include the Sheriff of Nottingham out of the Kevin Costner Robin Hood movie.
Robin Hood.
Truly Madly Deeply, and my personal favourite as Sir Alexander Dane out of Galaxy Quest.
I love that movie. The sad robot from The Hitchhiker's Guide.
And yes, of course, Marvin the robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But yeah, man, Galaxy Quest, dude, that movie is one of my all-time fucking favourites, and it still, to this day, fucking holds up when you watch it, eh? Actually, I read somewhere recently they're thinking of making a TV show based on that movie.
No, don't.
Yeah, buddy.
That's no.
Why not?
They're going to make like a fucking Top Gun 2 as well.
Yeah, they've been talking about that since the first one came out.
Oh, it's like official now.
Yeah, good lord.
Christ's sake.
Mind you, Tom Cruise can do just about anything.
Stop recycling shit.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad and terrible how fucking it is at the moment, and they do it all the time. Like Ant-Man was a good example of protecting fucking property over just letting someone fucking have free reign to do something a little bit different from, you know, what fucking everybody else is doing at the time.
Yeah.
Have you seen fucking Ant-Man yet?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
Well, I haven't read any of the comics, so I've got a pretty fucking singular view on it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was good. I didn't expect the fucking dude that played Ephraim from, what's it called?
The Strain.
Yeah, The Strain. I wasn't expecting him to be the villain at all.
Yeah, that was a bit of a fucking surprise, because, like, I'm on record as fucking officially switching off on Ant-Man. I think about the 14th or 15th fucking director change in the 3 weeks where they were swapping them fucking four times a day.
I think I remember the day that you, like, threw your fucking paperwork in the air and, like, fuck this.
Yeah, old school fucking paper toss.
Yep.
But, yeah, fucking, I don't know, man, it's a Marvel movie, and you can tell it's a Marvel movie, but every now and then there was a couple scenes in there where you could just see where I'm a brain farted tonight. Old bud, fucking, like, he's fucking, who was it? Who was it? Edgar Wright, that's it. Fuck me.
Are you trying to find that fucking director?
Yeah, Edgar fucking Wright. And you can see where some of his ideas and some of his rewrites of the fucking script have kept. Mm. Like, that whole Thomas the Tank Engine fucking scene, man. Like, you can, you know that's Edgar Wright. That's got his fingerprints all the fuck over it. And
there was talks in there somewhere that they were going to sue Ant-Man for using Thomas the Tank Engine so fucking so much in the movie, or on taking up so much screen of it.
Well, there was a pretty, from what I read, there was a big negotiation between the Thomas the Tank Engine people and Marvel Studios, and basically what it boiled down to was, yeah, there was limits on how much of Thomas himself they could show, and he wasn't allowed to be shown as hurting anybody or anything.
Except he just went through a fucking house wall.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he didn't hurt nobody, you know what I mean? Like, Thomas the Tank Engine didn't cause no direct injury and or death.
No. And the rest of the cast did, though, didn't they?
I don't know. I watched it once and I was like, that's weird and it's good, but it could be better.
Oh, no. Yeah, he was driving along the track and then it bumped out to a fucking landscape scene and all you saw was him hitting basically nothing because he couldn't see that, Yellow Jacket.
Yeah.
And then it fell off the tracks.
Yeah. But, I mean, Yellow Jacket was, like, in his fucking suit and shit, but I don't know. I don't know, man. It was, interesting.
Something that they've let fucking free reign, I'm looking forward to, on February 12th.
11th.
Fucking Deadpool.
Fuck you, man. I'm so excited for this movie. Not because it's, like, Deadpool in particular, but just because it looks like fucking, they've just let the fucking reins go, and they're gone, go do what you fucking want. And from the start, Ryan Reynolds was Deadpool in fucking life.
Yeah.
So,
like, he was literally born for this role, whether they fucked it up in X-Men or not.
Yeah. And that's the one advantage to a role, like a character like this, is he can break the fourth wall and just fucking annihilate his own fucking portrayal. And what was done to him.
How's his fucking promos, though?
Yeah, they're good. I can't fucking
wait. Fucking hilarious.
I'll tell you what, though. I reckon it's going to come a close second to another movie I watched. And and never fucking finished getting around to fucking talking to you lovely people out there about, and that is Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
It only took me like a week and a half to go see it.
Oh, man. I went and seen it the first opportunity I could. That weekend it came out, I couldn't go like opening night or anything like that, simply because, you know, work, life, and the cinema where I live is not... It's all right, but it's not something I want to go watch the first good fucking Star Wars movie in about 30 fucking years.
Yeah, no.
I wanted to go watch it in Star Wars.
You're a fucking parent too, so you can't exactly go out in the middle of the night to watch it.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Oh, no?
I work all through the night. What's it to me if I fucking take two hours out of the middle of my shift to go... Just leave work for 2 hours. I'll be back in a minute. Go watch fucking Star Wars. I was seriously tempted. And then on the way home, I rang my missus. I said, I'll be home tomorrow. She goes, I thought you were coming home today. I said, yeah, but I figured out I can watch it 7 more times, hitting every cinema on the way home. And it got shot down pretty quick. But I was tempted, man. Fucking hell, how good is it?
I made the mistake of going to see it in 3D. And I spent most of the movie concentrating on what the fuck I was seeing rather than analysing the movie.
Well, I mean...
And it shat me to fucking tears, hey.
Did you end up going to watch it in, like, normal 2D?
Nah, I haven't been able to afford it since.
How was the 3D experience of it, like, aside from... Yeah, well, how was it in 3D? Because I went and watched it in just plain old normal.
Awesome. I don't really have anything to compare it to, because I've never sat down and watched a 3D movie before, but...
Oh, haven't you?
No, as a movie as a whole, I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I can see where people are coming from, where it's just a fucking rehash on A New Hope. But then again, it's a fucking, like a bridge movie. And
well,
that's what A New Hope was.
It is at that. It is a bridging movie between, you know, what was and what is, you know, going to be. And, like, yeah, I mean, there's certain parallels, a lot of fucking parallels. But I personally reckon they did it in a way that wasn't, like, 100% just fan service.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't fucking all, you know, well, we know you like this, so we're going to give it to you again. Like, I mean, clearly that was it, but they still managed to weave a story around it. And, like, I read a lot of the books in the lead-up to it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's characters and things that are referenced in that movie where I'm like, oh, my God, I know what that is! You know what I mean? And, like, honestly, it is just fucking gorgeous. It was beautifully shot. I was fucking transfixed for about fucking 2 hours in what was just an excellent fucking movie without even looking at the fact that it was a fucking excellent Star Wars movie, you know what I mean? And just the sheer feeling of knowing that, fucking hell, it's back.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's back. There's
fucking
no,
ain't right.
There's no prequel shit or anything like that. The only real... kind of issue I had. All right.
Yeah.
Can you have a guess what it might have been?
No.
No?
No.
When they blew up the fucking, the new Republic fucking system, right, Hosnian system or whatever
what the fuck's it called?
The Starkiller Base.
That's the one.
The only thing I had with that is I didn't really fucking care. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't... And I think the reason why they did that, but they've come out and, you know, it's pretty much accepted that they didn't want any politics whatsoever in this fucking movie. But I really
Which is kind of disappointing because there's always been politics in Star Wars.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, it is a knee-jerk reaction to the fucking prequels
Look
where
fucking
it was sitting and talking and politics and... all politics and... Yes. My master. But I think a couple of scenes on the fucking Hosnian system, you know, in the Senate, well, maybe not in the Senate itself, but following, you know, Leia's little aide, who you didn't really fucking notice unless you were paying real attention, is, you know, the chick they focus on when they blow that shit up, you know, and just follow her for, you know, 10, 15 fucking minutes, I think would have really fucking helped. You know, as well as giving some backstory as to why there's a Republic as well as a Rebellion, or the Resistance, or whatever the fuck they call themselves.
Yeah, I think it's the Resistance or some shit on that.
It is the Resistance. You know, like, it all gets filled in the books, but I think, you know, for like someone who's more of a casual fan or just, you know, a movie girl, I think it would have been really fucking helpful to just, you know, well, this is why there's a fucking a Republic, a Resistance, and, you know, the Empire guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, I didn't really have too much of a problem with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, neither do I. I liked the fucking, the whole lot. I was trying to piece together who was what and where and how and why the whole time.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Now, couple questions for you. Because, like, I've fucking not had a chance to really talk about this with anybody because I only know about three nerds. And you're two of them, so...
I love it. What are you trying to say? I'm fat.
No, I'm just saying. Your beard's a nerd and you're a nerd, so, you know.
Okay.
Two nerds.
I'll play that.
Yeah, cool. Thank God. Okay, Rey, who is she?
Han Solo's daughter.
You reckon she's another fucking Solo?
Yep.
Why?
They have to go back to the fucking Star Wars comic EU, even though they said they weren't. But I reckon she's a fucking... Ben fucking Solo's twin.
Why? Why do you reckon that?
Well, because there's a point where he asks her to stay with him and he'll train her.
Yep.
There's a connection that her and fucking Chewie make straight off the bat. The fact that she's got the Force for starters. And fucking at the end of it where she takes over... Oh, spoiler alert if you haven't fucking seen it.
Oh, if you haven't seen it after a month, you're not a real fan, you can fuck off and die.
Yeah. Right at the end of the movie where she takes fucking Han Solo's seat after he died right next to Chewie. I mean, if that's not a fucking direct link to Han Solo and
Hang on,
General
bro.
Leia, I don't know what
hey,
the fuck is.
Sit down! Mutt! Trying to fucking record a podcast about Star Wars! Sorry. Sorry, bro.
Stop,
continue.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah.
It's gonna be an adjustment.
So yeah, just on that last one where she fucking takes Han Solo's seat in the Millennium Falcon right next to Chewie.
So you see that as like a passing of the baton, so to speak.
Pretty much.
You don't reckon there's any chance at all she's Obi-Wan Kenobi's illegitimate granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Yeah. Well, she's too young to be a daughter.
Yeah, it's possible, but I don't know.
And you don't reckon it could be Luke's daughter?
No.
Why not?
Being part of the fucking the light side of the Force, they don't really see themselves, like, dating and bearing children. And the only evidence we've seen of, like, fucking, the Jedi Knights bearing children is when Anakin come over to the dark side.
So you don't reckon Luke could, make that mistake, so to speak, of forming an attachment to the point of having a child?
No. I don't reckon he would. Yeah, in the story when they... all those fucking kids died or whatever. Or when he failed with Ben. Ben took off, and I reckon they hid Rey on the... fuck, I've got a mind blank. What's the fucking planet?
You're thinking of Jakku.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they hid her on Jakku and then fucked off. And then Ben grew stronger and fucking whatnot and years and years and years after. And, yeah, just so happened that she came back and found the Force and found her parents and took the big seat in the Millennium Falcon.
But don't you reckon there'd be like more of an emotional fucking reconnection with both mums and dads, seeing as, you know, they're both there when they see their daughter fucking turn up?
Well, see, this is something that I think is going to be explained in the next one.
Okay.
And this brings me back to a thing that I was reading on Facebook too. Some fuckknuckle in the Huffington Post put up a blog post of, like, I think it was called 40 Unforgivable Plot Holes in the Star Wars Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And some prick, like, grabbed all the fucking... Yeah, got all the questions for the potholes and, like, wrote back to him and that and responded. And it's just fucking hilarious. Hey, have you read it?
No, I haven't. Hang on, buddy.
Oh, my God. And, yeah, this dude, like, basically annihilates this fucking author, hey? Like, he's got shit like, why are all stormtroopers human or humanoid? Fucking, why does Kylo Ren assign just a single stormtrooper to guard Rey? Fucking, is Supreme Leader Snoke actually a giant? And there was one here before. It fucking cracked me up, hey? Oh, how lame is Han's attempt to convert his son?
Just sounds like it was written by a 9-year-old.
Like, this is supposed to be 40 unforgivable plot holes, and it just sounds like it's some fuckknuckle that's got no idea of what, how to analyze a movie, let alone analyze a fucking cult classic fucking... Oh, man. It shat me off, but I fucking cracked up laughing at this dude destroying him, hey?
Good. That's just what the internet needs. More fucked up.
Fucking layers. Fuck. People like that shit me off.
Yeah, man. And what did you reckon of the Battlefront game?
I loved it. I'm still playing it.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. The only thing I don't like is the fact that if no one's online, you cannot play. Unless you do the little fucking practice side game.
Yeah, the side missions there.
And even then, they get pretty fucking old pretty quick.
Yeah, well, they're pretty repetitive. It's a bit of a grind.
Yeah. But and fucking... there's no way of... like, seeing where everyone is on what server.
Yeah.
Like you can on Halo, where you can see how many people are on what server and see how fucking, like, busy it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because some of the games, like, they need, like, 40 people, and I sat there one day in, like, a game with myself, and I sat there for about 20 minutes waiting for people to fucking show up, and no one showed up. So yeah. Fuck this. And got off and, yeah. So you've got to really pick your time when you play Battlefront, but...
And what's your favorite game modes or... Yeah, what's your favorite missions?
Battle of Jakku would have to be one of them. I usually jump on Supremacy or Blast.
Nice.
Or I've been getting into, what's it fucking called? Drop pods.
Yep.
Or something like a scavenger, where you got to go to the other side, grab their loot, and then take it back to your own side.
Yeah, like the old capture the flag sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Well, yeah,
what I've are your favourite ones?
I've got to fight the kids to be able to play it. And the little fella's on it all the time.
See, fortunately enough, my kids haven't had that much experience playing first-person shooters, let alone a PlayStation anyway.
Yeah, well, he started playing Halo, the last couple months, and then he was playing Call of Duty for a while until Mum heard some of the profane language, and then, yeah, no more Call of Duty, but Halo and spades. So this is, yeah, he slipped right into it pretty well.
Nice.
So I have to fight him continuously for him to be able to play online, because, yeah, we don't let them play online, and you can't take a buddy with you online on the PlayStation, at least, anyway.
Well, that's it. And so, you can't play a fucking two-player online.
No.
You have to have two separate consoles.
Yeah.
Shit.
No, it is. It's fucked. And,
No. I'm hoping they fucking fix all that, hey?
Nah, it's just the way Battlefront is.
Though I've read there's a fair bit of fucking free content coming.
Nice.
Like, new maps and new game modes and whatnot and new characters and shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And then they've got fucking, I think at least the first two season passes have content ready to release or something like that. Or they've, like,
announced released what the content is, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. And,
I think season pass 3 is still pending, though.
Yeah. Well, I think they've got 4 lined up. 4 DLC releases in this season pass, anyway.
Oh. Yeah, and there's a lot happening in 2016.
Oh, yeah, man. And,
on the Battlefront.
On the Battlefront front.
Yep.
And did you ever get around to playing fucking Fallout 4?
I did, for about 10 or 15 minutes.
Why? What?
Oh,
so you're like halfway through character creation then?
Pretty much. No, I've gotten to the part where you put on the fucking power armor or the power suit and you come out of the place with fucking after talking to the Minutemen. And then you find the first fucking Deathclaw. And because they're uber hard to fucking kill in this one, it took me about 5 goes, and I'm like, fuck this.
Well, they're always hard to kill. Yeah. But then did you, like,
not,
just progress?
Not really. They were fairly fucking easy on, like, Fallout 3 and New Vegas.
You and I are playing different Fallouts, I think. But then again, did you, like, just progress straight through the quest missions? Or did you, like, spend a bit of time feeling shit out before you, like, wandered over to the mission?
I didn't go out to the side missions yet.
Yeah, see, I think that's the thing. I sort of radiated outwards before I started doing any of the storylines and missions and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's one of the very first fucking missions you do.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, I sort of went, oh, I'm meant to be over there. No, I'm going this way. And I'll go for a bit of an explore. Like, I've cleared areas that I've now got to go back and re-clear because I'm just getting up to them in the story missions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I loved it, man. I still sink some time into that fucking game when I can get a chance.
Yeah, well, I've been hitting Battlefront a fair bit, so it's been pushed aside a little bit. I can't play it during the day because me eldest had fucking night terrors after watching me play it. He's a very sensitive little boy.
Yeah. No, I was sort of glad I had Fallout New Vegas. Yeah, New Vegas on one Xbox. And I've got Fallout 3 at my mother's place. Because, yeah, it was a good way to keep the kids busy. Because they would sit there and watch me for hours playing it. And then they'd want to play themselves. I'm like, you got an Xbox. Go play.
Nice.
In other good news. In good news, though.
Mm.
It looks like the whiskey emoji fucking has had a win.
It's about time.
This week, Unicode has released 75 new emojis to be released in their Unicode 9.0. which is scheduled for release sometime this year. And the tumbler glass, also known as the whiskey emoji, which whiskey glass emoji, has indeed made the cut.
Fuck yeah.
So, Ballantine's is one. Now, when I first seen this story, it was the bourbon emoji. And I'm like, you have got to be joking. And then I looked at the emoji itself. And I'm like, hang on, that looks familiar. And then, yeah, on the Unicode site. Yeah, on the Unicode site itself, it actually calls it the tumbler glass emoji, aka the whiskey glass emoji, which has been adopted by Ballantine. So,
yay. That's right, bourbon. Eat a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you and your bourbon.
It's
whiskey, bitches. So, yeah, I mean, that's cool. Otherwise, it's been pretty fucking dead in the news recently. Like, a bunch of shit nobody really cares about, and that's about it. Yeah, so I really didn't want to trash that. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had Mr. JD on the podcast and what he's doing over there with the 28 Days of Art, not to mention the, the Sketch Monster stuff. It's all rather fucking nice and well, and, you know, it's just something I felt like adding in. And there was some good news stuff that I didn't really want to cover again, and you finally got to at least a little bit of my thoughts on the Star Wars The Force Awakens. I would have preferred to probably record that not long after because my memory was a little bit clearer, but what the fuck are you going to do, really? Not much. So let's move right along, shall we? Listen, there's not much I want to add to this episode. You know, I'm rather liking the shorter form episodes, but I did find a news article that sort of scrolled across my browser actually just today that I thought was worth fucking sharing. So, if you've been keeping an eye or even a partial eye on the medical world over the last, you know, 10, 15 years or so, you know that globally we're in a bit of a danger of a serious crisis, what with, you know, new antibiotic development up the shit and more and more bacteria and viruses becoming resistant to existing antibiotics out on the market, which basically means that what was once easily treatable diseases and infections are now becoming quite hard to fucking stomp on. In fact, I think it's gonorrhea or chlamydia in particular, just for an example, they are now 100% resistant to treatment. So once again, if you've got it, you've got it for good. But Rejoice, ladies and gentlemen. A new untapped source has indeed been discovered that is giving certain certain circles of the microbiology field a bit of hope. The humble beard. So we all remember that horrible fucking excuse of anti-beard propaganda last year that was proclaiming that beards are worse than the humble loo. Full of diseases, your beard is worse than a toilet, screamed the headlines from some fucking yokel. Well, Dr. Adam Roberts of the University College in London and his team set out to prove or disprove this sad excuse of journalism and discovered from just 20 swabs over 100 bacterial growths. Now, just as a little bit of a sidebar, I think we covered this when we originally covered the original article. Bacteria isn't necessarily the big bad meanie that a lot of people make it out to be, or a lot of people have a misconception about. You see, bacteria, within the human body alone, there is, I can't remember whether it's hundreds or thousands that exist. And I mean, we've all seen the ads for, you know, probiotics and macrobiotics and all that sort of shit, which is all derived from bacteria. Bacteria is just another form of life that help with a lot of things. In fact, yeast, believe it or not, is a bacteria, and that makes one of the most wonderful of substances, beer. So anyway, like I said, they found just over 100 over 100 bacterial growths within just the 20 swabs of the beard. So what they did is they threw that on a petri dish with indicator viral strains, and what they in fact discovered was that just over 25%, so what's that, at least, you know, 25-30-ish, showed antibiotic activity against the indicator strains they tested against. In short, beards produce their own antibiotics, untapped antibiotics, in fact. So, you know, this team at UCL has been a part of a global effort over the last decade or so to find new effective antibiotics and have to date discovered about 50 or so strains that are showing efficacy against yeast infections, E. coli, and various staph infection breeds. Look, this is just great. I mean, I think we're hitting a stage now where peak beard is in fact where we're at, because what we're finding is less and less stories about beards. And just in general, like, you do a bit of a Google search for beards and click on that news icon, it's all about individuals who are named Beard, and less about just how great beards are. And I mean, this article about fucking bacteria beard will just not fuck off. It really won't. It just will not fucking die, with both sides sticking to their guns. And I mean, every couple of weeks it comes up a new article arguing for or against beards being dirty. And in other good news, at least, I suppose, the hipster population of the bearded community is finally starting to fuck off and die. I'm sorry if you're a hipster and you have a beard and you're listening to this, probably the wrong fucking show for you. Has been since the very, very start. But it's leaving behind a solid core group, for the most part, of new and old school bearded fucking men, which is, to me, just great. And it's following a trend that I pegged when this article about the peak beard first came out. What we're finding is that now that it's no longer as fucking stylish, you're seeing less and less about it in the news, but you're finding that the bearded population, if you will, has seen a bit of a bump in their numbers, and they're going to stay. It doesn't matter how you found the beard, but if you're dedicated to it, welcome aboard, brothers and sisters who love the beard, or if you suffer from polycystic syndrome, welcome aboard, sisters. So, I mean, I'm not going to hang around for too much longer. I don't want to waste your time. I just needed to put something out there. I've missed this so much, ladies and gentlemen. You have no idea how much I miss talking to you lovely people every fortnight. You never know. It may soon be even every week once again. It just depends on how my new podcast is going. And that's one thing I do want to bring up. The new podcast is coming. It is definitely going to be out within the next month. I sort of went down a track with me kids of reading the fucking Animorph books again, which is a young adult series of books that are really quite fucking fun. And I mean, even now, I'm quite enjoying it. So, you know, if you haven't read them, at least go give them a read. As far as the new podcast is going, I'm just waiting on some artwork to come from the elusive Mr. JD himself, because as you may have heard in the past, he is indeed our visual designer. mainly because he has the talent, and mainly because I fucking don't. But that's going to come out in the next month. I'm still not sure whether they're going to plug it into this feed or whether it's going to have its own brand new little feed, all of its fucking own. We're just going to see how things go. I'm going to experiment. Old books, new books is probably going to be, you know, another once a fortnight podcast, just to give people a chance to read the books that I'm going to talk about, because I'm going to telegraph well in advance what books I'm going to be reading on the next episode, because it's going to be very, very spoiler heavy. I'm going to endeavour to keep this podcast going at least every fortnight, but it's going to be hard over the next couple of months, I'm not going to lie. I've apparently moved into a fucking global dead spot of internet. Without going into it too deep, basically over here in Australia, they're trying to roll out a new infrastructure for the internet, and where I am, because I like to live way the fuck out of town, away from everybody else up in the mountains. One, the old service has been disconnected because there's new service around, but not where I fucking live, so I've got to wait for a satellite to go up, so that'll be fun. Yay! Other than that, yeah, all my shit's old and nobody really fucking cares. So what we're going to do is we're going to delve into the faults once again of the Beards and Focus. And actually, on the note of Beards and Focus, it is one thing I am going to be start pushing again this year. Sort of towards the end of last year, I sort of dropped off trying to push it. You know, just life got in the road, I suppose. But I'm going to be pushing it once again. So if you do have a Beards and Focus story that you would like to share, you know, your story of the bearded journey, please, by all means, we want to hear from you. You can send us an email at beardsinfocus@thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Or even mailbag at thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Even if you just want to drop in and say hello, in fact, mailbag at thedrunkenbeardsman.com is the address you want to hit up. Drop us a line. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what you're doing. Just say hello. We will read your email out. If you have any questions, by all means, ask them. I am an open fucking book. And if you've got a question for Mr. JD, by all means, ask it, because I can still get a hold of him. He's not disappeared just yet. But let's have a look at who our Beards and Focus is for this week. So this week on for our Beards and Focus feature, we are going to be looking at the story of Mr. Mike Norris. Mike Norris hails from Mishawaka, Indiana, in the United States, and he is the genius behind the Distinguished Beardsman, a website that is very similar to our own and Beardspo. They sort of, you know, aggregate a lot of beard stories, do a lot of articles, help sort of pimp out some products, and funnily enough, do something very similar to what this segment is much, much later. So his story, you can find him on the Twitter at @the_gadgeteur, @thebeardedfellow, @bitbitbite, @the_beardsman. You can find him on Facebook at The Distinguished Beardman, and of course his website, thedistinguishedbeardsman.com. And this is his story. So it all started in May of 2014. I had wanted to grow a beard for many years, but one, I never thought I could from what little I had after a few weeks, and number two, my wife was not a fan. Then, one fateful day in May 2014, she gave me an inch, so I took a mile. Over the last year, I've learned a lot about growing, maintaining a beard, as well as meeting some cool people along the way. Now, I couldn't imagine not having it. When it comes to influences, I have two in mind: Tony Bizzuti from the band The World Alive, and of course, Mr. Nibbles of Beard Season. He's on my list of people to get this fucking year for sure. On inspirations, I just wanted a cool beard. I love the beard culture, and the bearded people are a pretty awesome group. I've been talking to people from all over the world since getting into the bearded world, specifically after launching my own site, The Distinguished Beardsman. I have gotten items to review from Canada, Australia, Sweden, the UK, and more. When it comes down to continuing my growth, you better believe it. I'll get to a point where I want to maintain instead of add any more length, but I'm a few inches away from that for now. Thankfully, my main job has been cool with it, which is something I'm super grateful about. Upon the future plans, I'd really like my tech website, bitbitbyte.com, and the Distinguished Beardsman to be my sole source of income and allow me to write about my now two passions, technology and beards. When it comes to hipsters, they're just misunderstood, man. To be fair, I get called a hipster a lot. And as far as products go, so far I've been using mainly a pretty good beard oil from Sephora. Not sure of the brand, my wife picked it up. More recently, I've received some product from Happy Beards, Topher, and Can You Handlebar. I'm particularly interested in trying out Broda Joe's Beard Balm, which is a dude I found which is based out of Sweden. When it comes down to the peak beard, it's plausible. It seems to kind of be leveling out. That said, I genuinely like beards as opposed to simply having one for a fashion or a cultural trend. Mine will stick around long after the mainstream sites and magazines change focus. Mr. Norris, we here at the Drunken Beardsman salute you. And that was this week's Beards and Focus, where the goal is to shine a light on beards and the men behind them. So, I think that's about all we've got time for this week. I won't keep you lovely people from your busy, busy days and your busy, busy times. You can find me on the website, drunkenbeardsman.com. If you want to drop us a line, please do. We always love to hear from our listeners / readers. You can find us on the drunkenbeardsman.com. And I sincerely hope that you do join in and come join us and say g'day. You can find me on the Instagram at the Drunk with Dan. You can find me on the PlayStation Network, actually, on the Drunk with Dan. You can find me just about anywhere at the Drunk with Dan. You can find JD at SKTCH_monster on all various social media platforms. And I think that's where we're going to call it. So until the same time next fortnight at this stage on the same drunk channel at the same drunk time, I've been Drunk with Dan. Thank you for listening to my drunken bearded ramblings, and remember, stay bearded and beautiful, people. Having a good time is not my cup of tea. No, I don't care for much at all, but there is one thing that I'm all for. They look so nice on your face. I've got to make this clear. I like beards, yes! Beards, 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 beards. I don't like the Beatles. I don't like Queen. Powderfinger, not my kind of scene. Tropical sunset, a fine red wine, having sex, it's all just a waste of my time. I don't like you or anyone, but there is one thing that turns me on. I like beards. I like beards. Beards are good, beards are great, they look so crystal clear. I like beards. Oh! This has been a production of the drunkenbeardsman.com. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan. Just like to remind everybody that the Drunken Beardsman, i.e. me, promote only drinking in moderation. Don't be a dickhead and binge drinkers for fuckwits only. Don't be doing necking or goon of fortune or any other stupid little things. If you're under the age of 18, don't tell mummy, but tell daddy about the podcast. And remember, the beard may be a toilet, but you know what? It's a toilet that's going to save your fucking life. Until next week, I'm Drunk with Dan. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. You have a good one. I don't like the look of your face. Don't like to rock, I don't like to roll. Don't like it too hot, don't like it too cold. I don't like water, don't
choose. Don't like to go out, don't like to stay in. I don't really like anything. There's just one reason why I'm here.
I like beers.
That was the theme song for this season. That is I Like Beards from the Beard album by The Beards. Find them at www.thebeards.com.au and get some tickets to their last year of touring. I've been Drunk with Dan. Thank you very much.